Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this drizzly Sunday morning. I'm glad to see all of your faces. I have a few announcements for you. One, we are getting a new website, and our very own Miss Kimberly Norris is going to be helping us with that. And one of the things that is helpful for a new website is branding. And I know it seems weird to brand a church, but it's really, really helpful. So Kimberly will be holding a branding session on Thursday, July 20th at 6:30 p.m. You are more than welcome to join us. Actually, it would be wonderful if you joined us. Depending on how many people we have, we're going to start in the library. If we have too many people to fit in the library, we'll head over to the Scout Room. But mark your calendars, July 20th, 6:30. It lasts about 2 hours because we want to make sure we get it right. Okay, and then on July 27th at 7 p.m., myself, along with Reverend Emily Cooper up at Glenshaw Presbyterian Church, are going to be having a healing prayer service. There's going to be scripture, prayer, anointing, a labyrinth. So, that starts the 27th at 7 p.m. at Glenshaw. And it's sort of open-ended. We're planning on closing down about 8-ish, but you leave whenever you feel that you've been healed. Yes. And then we have our church picnic coming up August 27th after worship. It is a potluck. And if you want to donate a basket for the basket raffle or chance auction, get in touch with BJ. And she will get that all organized for you. Last thing is, I am going on vacation in about an hour. next week, the Reverend Ingrid Kalkthaler, did I pronounce that right, Faith?
Kalkthaler,
thank you. Reverend Ingrid will be here next week preaching. Throughout the week, you can contact Sun about any administrative issues that you have. If you have any spiritual or prayer concerns, get in touch with your deacon. You can send me an email or a text, but I can't promise that I'm going to get back to you right away. So I'll see it eventually. But there. Are there any announcements that I'm missing? All right. Well then, let's put our phones in their most prayerful and meditative settings as we get ready to worship God with our call to worship. Come, all you who carry heavy burdens, and Christ will give you rest. For he is gentle and humble in heart. In him we find rest for our souls. Please rise in body or spirit for our opening hymn, God is Calling Through the Whisper.
Thank you.
upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. Therefore, let us confess our sin with every confidence that we will be lifted up. Holy One, we confess to you and to each other that we are tired and weighed down by the mistakes we have made, even in our closest relationships with our friends, our spouses, and our partners. We give this burden to you, mindful of Jesus' promise that he will give us rest. We trust in you. Amen. Friends, hear the good news of our faith. God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, showing compassion to all. Forgiven and freed, let us rise up with joy. Friends, let us now join together and profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace.
Welcome back. You okay?
Please be seated for our congregational anthem, I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say. Let us lift up our prayers of concern and joy for the world, the church, and one another. God of life, we come to you from many places. Some hearts overflow with joy and gratitude, and others are barely hanging on to hope and faith. For some, this is an ordinary morning, but for others, every step feels fragile. Holy One, meet us where we are and bind us together, that in the community of your love, we might discover our wholeness. We pray for our concerns of our congregation, for Joey D'Amico for a successful surgery on Thursday, for Cheryl's mom, continued prayer for her and for Sherry, that she would have help with all of the upcoming situations that are facing her. We pray for Mike, Sue Galley's brother, who is now in kidney failure. And we seek prayers for Ginny as she seeks out some respite care for Amy. God of every beginning, we pray for your children, for infants harbored in their mother's wombs, for children exploring the world and testing their imaginations, for youth discovering their own integrity. We pray for children who cannot take safety and comfort for granted. God of life, we pray for all of your children throughout the world. Author of time, we ask your blessing on our work and our rest, in jobs that feed our souls and in jobs that do not satisfy, in volunteer service and in routine daily tasks, in long hours of caregiving and in hours we do not know how to fill. Come to us and show us how we might serve you. We pray for those whose needs we know. God of all creation, enlarge the circles of our concern. Teach us to care for siblings whose names we cannot say, those whose challenges are daunting, though their needs are like our own. Teach us to care for the earth on whose gifts we depend. Holy God, we pray for your world as we say the prayer that your Son, Jesus Christ, taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise as you're able for our hymn of meditation, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Thank you. seated. God is faithful and gracious to us, upholds us, and raises us up. Let us show our thanksgiving by giving generously to support ministries that ease burdens and gives rest to those in need. Compassionate God, we ask that you bless and multiply these gifts, that they may be used to proclaim the glory of your kingdom and make known to all people the power of your saving acts. Amen.
Good morning. The scripture this morning is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 16 through 19, and verses 25 to 30. But to what will I compare this generation? Is it like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, "We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn." For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, "He has a demon." The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, "Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Merciful God, in this moment of stillness, wash us clean of our presumptions. Receive us as your weary children. Then, by the power of your Spirit, bless us with a word that revives. For we pray in the name of Jesus, your living word. Amen. So for the 4th of July, my dad has this big old pool party every year, and it starts at 8 a.m. I was not there at 8 a.m. but we'd like make breakfast, and there are so many people there, and just I'm pretty sure there were more children there than adults, which is never good. And I just kept looking over at my sister and brother and just being like, oh, kids these days, right? So, but at the same time, I think that we can be pretty hard on kids, especially teenagers, right? Because they got these like almost adult bodies, but they're a little awkward. And we make fun of their fashion choices and their odd jokes. And to be fair, like odd might be going a little easy on some of them. And it, like, in some respects, it feels like their lives are just so much easier than ours were. But on the other hand, they don't have the advantage of the experience like we do. And so sometimes they make some choices that are not great. And we, at least I, can sometimes find myself being a little self-satisfied when I give a little exasperated sigh and go, ugh, kids these days, am I right? But ours, this time, is not the only time or place where we shake our heads and sigh at our kids and wonder, like, what are they thinking? It's not even limited to the human world, because perhaps you have heard about the orca whales that have been ramming into yachts and other small boats along the western coast of Europe the past year or so. There's speculation that they're doing it because one of the grandmother orcas was hurt by a similar type of boat, and they, you know, she taught them how to do this as for retribution. And and marine biologists, they're smart, like orcas are very smart, right? Marine biologists say that might be a possible reason for the adolescent orca's behavior, but they think that there's a better theory to explain the phenomena. The orcas are playing, and it's a fad. Yes, orcas have fads. Back in the 80s, like right when they were first starting to really study orcas, there was a small pod that had started wearing dead salmon on their heads, like hats. And the trend quickly spread through a few other pods close by. And then almost as quickly as the trend started, it stopped. And researchers didn't see any more orcas with salmon hats anymore. Other orca specialists theorize that these marine mammals, also they like the feeling of bubbles on their face from the propellers of the boats, and when they don't get that bubbly effect that they're seeking, they run into the rudders to try to get the propellers to spin somehow. I don't know anything about boats. But I like to imagine the orcas' mothers and grandmothers like shaking their heads and just muttering to one another, the kids these days, am I right? So like we humans have also been complaining about the upcoming generations, since Jesus' time. Like, Jesus is complaining about kids these days. Right before this passage, John the Baptist is in prison, and he's having a real tough go of it. You might remember that there was a lot of confusion. There was a lot of back and forth about, you know, is John the Baptist the Messiah? Is Jesus the Messiah? There was just a lot of confusion, and John the Baptist had to continually say he wasn't the coming one, that he was only here to make way for and point to the Messiah. It seems like John knows who he is and why he's here, but he's wavering a little bit, as I might if I were in prison as well. Things aren't going quite the way that he anticipated, so he sends Jesus a message, and he asks, you know, is Jesus, are you the one that we've been waiting for, or are we supposed to wait for another? Is John responsible for misleading the kids these days? And Jesus tells the disciples to go back and talk to John and tell him everything that they've seen and heard. How the sick are healed, the blind see, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and that should be a satisfactory answer. And you know what? As long as the disciples are out there, they may as well tell everyone else that they meet along the way about Jesus too. So this is also a bit of a commissioning of disciples. And when we get to today's passage, Jesus is addressing the lack of response by the towns of Israel that the disciples had gone through. He uses the metaphor of kids in the marketplace, calling out to their friends, they're singing, they want to play a happy game, they want to sing a celebratory song, but you know, the others, they won't respond to it. So they change their tunes completely. They go towards more of a funeral dirge. You know, and the others, they're not happy with that either. The kids these days not have any conviction. They're moving from one thing to the next, just sort of depending on what they think that other people want. But as we read further through, I think Jesus is using these children in the market more as an example of how impossible it is to please people. It might seem important at first to try to figure out who the marketplace kids are representing, who it is that's not listening to them, and I'm not convinced that that's actually the crux of the passage. What I find more important is the lack of any proper response, any response at all, on the part of the people in general. Jesus isn't addressing the failure of individual people to respond, but to society as a whole. This generation, kids these days, who somehow fail to respond as they should to a perfectly clear song. It's like these kids don't have ears to listen to either John or Jesus. They accuse John of having a demon because of the clothes that he wears, his itchy shirts and the kind of food that he eats. His message of coming judgment is it's just too threatening. It's too hard. But Jesus also had a bad reputation because he enjoys a good celebration. And he doesn't care who's invited to the party. Jesus comes in weakness, announcing this peaceable kingdom of unconditional love and forgiveness. No, that's not spiritual enough for the generation. We want to be able to exclude people if need be. So Jesus is seen as this rebel that needs to just be purged from the community. Both their messages, both John's and Jesus' messages, they threaten the autonomy of people, of all of us. It's like God's agenda is both too conservative and too liberal at the same time. We like to maintain a real happy medium. We want to be somewhere in between John's stifling demands and Jesus' frightening inclusiveness. So we keep changing our tunes, insisting on moderation, mediocrity, trying to secure control on our own. But in that process, we're rejecting the extraordinary future that God dreams for us and for the whole world. It's kind of like when we see kids making those silly mistakes. Like, dude, I see something so much better for you. You don't have to be out with the cool kids. Rejecting other people. You don't have to take everything so darn seriously. Even though there are people who are rejecting Jesus, he still gives thanks for those who have accepted his mission and his message. It's not a prayer of thanksgiving for a successful mission, obviously, but it is a prayerful reflection on the failure of the Galilean mission. He gives thanks that those who have received God's divine revelation are not the wise and intelligent people. But it's the infants that have received it and accepted. Obviously not literal infants, of course, but it's a metaphor for like the poor in spirit, the merciful, the persecuted, the sick, the lame, the tax collectors, the sinners. All of those people who are considered unworthy of social inclusion. Kids these days, they see what the wise cannot. That knowledge of God can't be achieved through our own wits or by strictly following rules that don't take into consideration justice, mercy, faith. We tend to spend a lot of time looking up to those with intelligence and education, and there's nothing inherently wrong with that. And I say that as somebody with education, of course. No, there's nothing inherently wrong with intelligence or education. But we'd still do well to remember that it's the kids, the least sophisticated, who know how to receive Jesus in humility, thereby gaining access to God, the one that Jesus came to reveal. So even though kids these days have very strange fashion senses and seem to speak an entirely different language and can be a little naive sometimes, they still might have something to teach us about God. And it might be in all of our best interests to pay a little more attention. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise as you're able for our closing hymn, Lord of All Hopefulness. Before we go out into the world and I start my vacation, let me offer you a blessing. And listen to the children among you. Listen when they play their happy songs. Listen when they play their sad songs. And listen for the word of Jesus within them. May the God who feels compassion for all lead you to find your love in life and peace that comes from living with a gentle and humble heart. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.